We'd like to welcome everyone to the study session for the Mesa City Council for Monday, February 8th, 2010. Councilmember Summers is, I believe, joining us by phone?
Yes, I am.
Okay, welcome. And Councilmember Higgins is running just a couple minutes late. She should be here any minute. First item on the agenda is to go over tonight's agenda. Page one. Page two. Page three. Page four. Page five. Page six. Vice Mayor?
Yes, on 7F, because of work I do, I have potential conflict, so I will recuse myself on that item.
Okay. 7F is off consent.
Mayor,
yes.
May we hear a little bit about briefly what that project is?
Oh, sure.
The backup material had the lease, but it didn't really have a great explanation of what's happening there.
Thank you, Mayor, Councilor Richens. As I understand it, the request by New Leaf for the space that I think some of the additional administrative office space is to use that for their IT support and data processing, how I understand. Well,
explain if you could to the public generally where this office space is and why it makes sense for us. Why it makes sense for us to enter this agreement with a New Leaf, why it's available.
Mayor and Council, a New Leaf approached us about this space, which is located over actually in Escobedo. We have two offices that were located over there. And the offices.
When you say offices, these were houses that were abandoned that the city were using as offices, and we have moved out of those, and now.
Exactly.
They're empty buildings, basically.
They're empty buildings, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. They do need some improvements in there. A New Leaf approached us that they're willing to go ahead and do all the improvements over there. What they would like to do is, Mr. Brady mentioned, is to put in their IT area. It freed some space over at a facility they have over on North Mesa Drive where they can expand some services there. It's probably about 6 to 8 people that would be located in there. The lease is for $1 a year. It's just for 1 year. Certainly if we would need that space, we have put into the agreement notification process and so forth. But they're willing to take on all the expenses for those improvements and move their IT folks over there.
But it makes sense for us because those are vacant buildings. If we get activity in there, get people in there on a daily basis, we have
there's a presence there.
There's a presence.
Exactly.
We're not using those for anything.
We are not right now at this
and
time.
And actually, it helps in the upkeep if we have someone in there. Councilmember Richens.
A New Leaf always does things first class, too. When they improve a space, they always do a really great job with that. So I'm glad to hear about this. Thank you.
Because it is a New Leaf. That's why they do that. I don't know what that means, but it sounds good.
Turning over a New Leaf.
That's right. Anything else on page six? Page seven. Okay. Next item is to hear the presentation that we unfortunately had to move off of last study session, and that is to hear a presentation, discuss, and provide direction on the 2010 state legislative agenda.
Well, good afternoon, Mayor and Council. And in fact, Channel 11, sorry, changed on the PowerPoint. I was going to say on the PowerPoint on your handout, it still has the old date on the cover, but we've got that fixed for. Yeah, it was just a reminder that I got bumped last time.
You know, if you need further reminders of getting bumped, getting whatever, we can certainly work through that.
Absolutely, thank you, Mayor. But I would like to briefly run through, and of course, please stop me with any questions or comments that you may have as we move through the PowerPoint, but to talk a little bit about where we are. This is the session's already now a few weeks into play, so we've had some changes actually since some of this was put together, so I'd be glad to go through that. Governor Brewer did offer her first State of the Union, State of the State address this year. She came in, took office after Governor Napolitano had already delivered hers last year, so she wasn't able to deliver that last year, so this was her first. Again, a Republican majority, 18 Republicans to 12 Democrats in the Senate, 35 Republicans to 25 Democrats in the House. Major themes this year, very narrow from past years, just budget. What we've already seen, though, in just the last few days, the legislature in special session is in the process of referring to the voters a 1 cent temporary 3-year sales tax increase that will be captured 100% by the state. So in that scenario, the cities won't receive a cut of that temporary 3-year increase. All of the revenue generated will go to the state, but that will go in to try to plug the massive budget shortfall that the state is experiencing both in this current fiscal year and into FY11. They're expecting just nominal return if the voters were to approve this in May for the FY10 fix. They're looking at more lease purchase agreements from federal buildings and, state buildings and other maneuvers such as that to maybe get loans and short-term fixes to get them through FY10, and then look at substantial cuts to services in FY11. So even if the voters do approve the increase for the coming fiscal year, they're still looking at around a $2.5 billion budget shortfall for FY11. That takes them back to revenue numbers that they haven't seen since FY05-06. So that's a tremendous departure from where revenues obviously had been the last few years. We go through and have our customary guiding principles that staff uses as kind of the benchmark that we know that council has directed us as far as maintaining local control and fiscal sustainability, economic development tools, and others that we talk about each year. I will say the one thing that we've changed this year is typically we talk about not rating any of the funds that come to cities and towns, and we know that that's probably just not a realistic scenario with such a huge budget deficit. Certainly state shared revenue, which makes up a core of our city budget, it's a huge component that we would like to protect. But when you see funds like lottery funds, LTAF2 that go to transportation, as much as we would like to see those funds still be there and available for us, we know that they're going to take some sort of hit. Some amount of money is going to be diverted from those funds into the state general fund because of the other protections, voter protections that are on so much of the state budget. They really have no choice but to look at some of those revenues. So we're going to do everything we can to try to minimize the impact, but it's a different scenario this year than in years past where we've tried to safeguard them completely. We just know that that's not a viable solution.
Vice Mayor?
And I would hope that they are being reminded of the whole reason that this state shared revenue exists and mm-hmm. how it came into play and how the formula came to be.
Absolutely.
Because there's probably a loss of institutional knowledge of the history. Are we going to make sure that that reminder is in place?
Absolutely, Mayor and Vice Mayor. We're working alongside our colleagues, other cities in the League of Arizona Cities and Towns, to do our best to remind legislators, those especially who are new to the process, about the voter-approved state shared revenue and what that means and how that's consolidated revenue collection in the state and why it's a good thing for the taxpayers to have the state collect it so that we don't have 90 individual cities and towns out doing their own collection at the local level, that this is a good consolidated system for taxpayers, and that because they're collecting it, though, on our behalf, that doesn't mean they get a cut of it. That means that they need to distribute that on to cities and towns as the voters intended. So
they just need to understand, are they willing to break that pact mm-hmm. and have it go the other way? And I would think that if they really evaluate it, they would not.
And Mayor and Vice Mayor, we're hopeful that based off of the recent Supreme Court decision of a couple of years ago, that it's clear that it would take a supermajority vote, two-thirds vote, to even touch it. But even with that, we don't want it to be a concept that they try to go after, but they fall a few votes short. Hopefully they see that cities and towns have made the necessary corrections that we've needed to bring our budgets in line, and it's been a difficult process, just like we're enduring here at Mesa, with a lot of restructuring, unfortunately having to eliminate positions and make a lot of the hard choices that, frankly, to this point, the state has not been willing to do. And so we've encouraged them. And many legislators get that the state hasn't taken as many proactive steps as cities have done to bring their budget in line. So they need to look there first before they ever look at any of our revenue streams.
Thank you.
Public safety is another issue that's always high on the list. Not this year. I think what we're really looking at probably is different efforts on photo enforcement. Mainly those deal with the freeway, photo radar on the freeway. We would just hope to preserve our local ability to carry out the kind of a photo enforcement program that council and the police department feel are in the best interest of our residents. And so we're looking not for them to dictate exactly how that should be done. There's all kinds of bills from the frequency and the length of yellow lights to other things that try to really micromanage the type of programs that we run at the local level. And we've said all along that that's for law enforcement, that's for our traffic engineers and others to really do what's in the best interest of our citizens. So we're hoping to maintain that local control as it involves our photo enforcement program. And then secondly, on immigration, obviously an issue of great importance at the legislature. There'll be more discussion about that this year. We'll have to monitor any potential legislation that comes out. Senator Russell Pierce has introduced a bill, and we're working through that process right now to try to assess what the ramifications are to the city, and I'll be glad to come back at any time after we've had more time to digest it and find out a little bit more and talk to the sponsor about his view of how that would work with what we're doing locally and provide a full report of how that bill could impact the city. Economic development. I don't know if you folks have heard, but there's a little project to preserve the Chicago Cubs here in the city, and so that's obviously been something of great interest in the legislature, to say the least. So we'll be working through that process, and we're very thankful that we've had great support from our Mesa delegation and others around the state in preserving this economic development tool.
Others around the state. Does that include all the other baseball teams in the?
Well, Mayor, regardless of what the teams believe on this, we've had great support from legislators in Pima County on both sides of the aisle who have said that this is important. We understand the economic impact that the Cubs bring. This isn't about a baseball team. This is about economic development, and we're going to help you in your effort to keep the Cubs here in Arizona. So we're thankful that folks get that. GPLET is another issue that's received a lot of interest at the legislature the last couple of years. Obviously, some of the deals that are occurring in areas like downtown Phoenix have brought this program to the attention of groups like Goldwater Institute and others. And so as we see reform efforts try to make their way through the process, we want to monitor that first and foremost to make sure that any of our existing GPLAT deals, including the Gaylord development, would not be impacted by any legislation, but then to see that's a viable tool in other areas of the state, not just downtown Phoenix, as
we'll expand on that a little bit, because you know there's been some questions mm-hmm. as it relates to previous efforts to reform or to change that. And basically, as it has always fallen out, is that the reforms or the changes seem to apply to everybody but a certain segment.
Right.
And generally, that's let us do what we want to do in the central city, mm-hmm. and the rest of you have to follow a different set of rules.
Right.
Yeah. Is that accurate?
That's true, Mayor. There was a bill that came very close to passing last year that would have had a detrimental impact on our ability to do GPLAT deals in the Gateway area or in the Falcon Field area or in the Fiesta Mall area. These were all segments of our community that are important for economic development and would have been excluded under the bill that would have passed last year. But the irony of it is that you could have still done any of the deals that were contemplated in downtown Phoenix, and we just did not feel that was a fair or equitable compromise to be able to continue to do those in just a certain isolated area when economic development in this state and in our cities take many different forms and have different areas of concentration. So we want to ensure that we could still have those in our growing job centers.
Yeah, and I can understand the debate over GPLAT as a whether it's an appropriate tool or not. You know, I'd like the discussion broadened to decide why we need a giblet when you look at our property tax situation and the barriers that we have to capital formation in our current tax system. But that's, you know, that's a much larger discussion that I wouldn't want to get into right now. But I think my preference is just to echo what you say, is that we need to vigorously oppose anything that changes a tool or that makes it only exclusive to certain areas and does not address needs in legitimate areas outside of those areas, and specifically downtown.
Right.
I mean, if we're going to agree that this should exist, it should be something that can be applied to areas that truly need that. And there are a lot of areas outside of the central city. I mean, for heaven's sakes, we're a city of nearly 500,000 people who have several centers that need help. And the help they need includes a regulatory format and a taxing format that recognizes the challenges that exist there. And they recognize that these are not giveaways. I would never support a giveaway, but simply they are creating a playing field that for that particular area, it levels it. And so I would encourage you to continue to fight vigorously for that kind of equitable treatment.
Absolutely, and that's what we've said. Mayor, if there's going to be reform, it should be across the board. It shouldn't pick winners or losers by trying not to pick winners or losers.
I hate that term, but I get where you're coming from.
Absolutely, and that
because I think the problem is, and I've said this a lot, and we use this reason why I sort of cringe when I hear that. I hear a lot of winners and losers.
Right.
The fact of the matter is that the way we approach incentives, which I even after City North is still completely in my mind off the chart. Dysfunctional, because the winners and losers are not us on this side of the street and you on that side of the street. And that seems to be where we're focused. The real winners and losers are us as an entire state, us as an entire region, and we're losing to people that are sucking opportunities and sucking capital to areas that aren't in this valley. They're not, may not even be in this region of the country or even in this country at all. Mm-hmm. And I think we're missing the big picture when we talk about these kind of incentives and the kinds of reform and the approach, because we're worried about whether Mesa and Tempe are going to fight over things.
Right.
And that really is the least of our worries, but it seems to be the focus of our efforts. And we're missing the big picture that Mesa and Tempe should be concerned with New Mexico and Oregon and all these, and Alabama and all these other states that are creating opportunities for capital infusion that we're simply blocking out.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're scared to death that Mason Timmy may end up in a fight. And frankly, over the past, there's been good reason, because we have cities have concentrated too much on those kind of battles. So we sort of, I agree, we sort of set up our own problem. We've created our own problem. Hopefully we can get beyond that and think more regionally and even statewide in this. That's enough of my pontificating. I'm sorry.
No, absolutely.
Other than that, I have no strong feelings toward this issue one way or another.
Well, and Mayor, that's, you know, literally why we've said that tongue in cheek, because we hear so many times, and for good reason, from outside organizations of saying it's not the role of the government and of the public sector to pick winners or losers, and we agree. And that's why we're saying don't exacerbate the problem.
We are picking winners and losers. We're choosing us to be losers.
Yeah, right. Don't draft a bill that precludes any type of economic development using this tool in a city such as Mesa, at the Gateway area, at Falcon Field, or at Fiesta, while at the same time still allowing this and even encouraging this in other areas of different communities. And so,
yeah, it's bad policy, and I don't want this to be misconstrued that somehow we're pushing for incentives, because all incentives are not created equal, and there are incentives that are very good incentives. There are incentives that are miserably bad, and those we should not use, and cities should not use that.
Absolutely,
we should encourage the kind that create economic activity, or not create, but facilitate it throughout the state and certainly throughout the region.
Absolutely. And that's a good segue, Mayor, right into the discussion on this year represents the sunset of the state's motion picture tax incentive. That it's encouraged motion picture development here in the state, folks who can get lower wages, lower cost of production than in California, to come to Arizona to produce movies. Obviously, I believe Councilmember Summers is on the phone. There's been tremendous interest in the Gateway Studios project in his district and their ability to utilize this incentive to encourage development in that project. And so certainly as discussion about this tax credit moves forward, we would hope to remind legislators about the type of economic development it could bring in areas like Gateway and Gateway Studios.
And that's another good thing, not to beat a dead horse even more, but our biggest competitor in that is Albuquerque, New Mexico, because there is a motion picture theater studio, and New Mexico has become one of the most active motion picture production areas in the entire, outside of Los Angeles and New York, in the country because of a similar type project. I understand there's one proposed in Avondale also. I hope they succeed too. I mean, I would want to make sure that whatever comes up doesn't favor an Avondale over a Mesa. You know, that's where the market should take over. And we should be focusing on the fact that Albuquerque has beat us to the punch, been incredibly successful, and will continue to grow, or we can compete on that also.
Absolutely. And to that point, Mayor, we want to ensure the same. We've heard that there may be some tweaks to the language to help the folks out in Avondale, and we just want to make sure that's not done at the detriment to what we're doing here in Mesa. So
okay. Thank you.
We'll be monitoring that. Next, moving on to neighborhood issues. Obviously, you've probably read about it. One of the more controversial issues the legislature may face non-budget related is payday loan industry. They are coming to the legislature trying to extend their sunset to allow them to continue to operate after June 30th of this year. They are attempting to self-regulate, try to change some of the practices that have led to some of the questions and scrutiny on their industry, and are trying to work through the legislative process. The first bill that was introduced by Representative Tobin on behalf of the consortium representing the payday loan industry was pulled out of committee. They did not move forward with the hearing. They said that they needed more work and that they'll bring it back. So at that point, certainly we'll keep council updated on what the bill looks like. The first one was very rough, and so I don't really feel comfortable being able to say what it does or doesn't do. So as a new draft comes forward, we'll bring it back and get any input from council on this. But we know it's an issue that other cities, of course, including our own, have really raised as an issue.
Okay. Councilmember Higgins?
Scott, how does that work with, didn't the state of Arizona vote on whether to sunset that or not? So that would just be going against the voters of Arizona? No, I wonder how that works within the legislature.
Yes, the election that was held, that the voters turned down a request to extend it. It's my understanding is it can still be done legislatively. I think there's some folks who maybe even view that, depending on how you interpret the Constitution as far as votes on referendums. But still, I think the idea is that the legislature can decide to extend beyond the sunset, even though the voters chose not to do that.
Well, and the argument that I've heard is that the issue that they presented now differs significantly and is really not the same thing, and you know, it depends on how you want to read that as to whether that's true or not. But that's the argument I've heard, is that this is, yeah, we understand the vote, but boy, this is a whole different world. So, and I haven't read enough, I don't know what it is. Councilmember Richens?
I see a lot of supports and a lot of opposes of different and various sundry issues. This is a monitor.
Yes.
Why?
Well, that was intentional, Mayor and Councilmember Richens, simply because we wanted to bring back what the industry's offer was, and we're yet to see that. We've heard from folks representing the industry that they've gotten the message loud and clear from areas, including the issue that you've had to deal with in District 1, where you may have an intersection where three or maybe even four corners, all or five corners even, of a... Yeah.
Five. One Alba School and University.
You're the council member, I believe it. There are that all five corners. I can say. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Thank you. That five stores clustered. We've heard that they may be willing to make concessions about distance requirements similar to other kind of establishments where The storage would have to be located 12 to 1,500 feet between one another or some of these issues.
That's perspective. So, I mean, I don't know how they could satisfy that problem. We just have to wait for those four of those to go out of business?
Well, yes, sir. My opinion was on this. I think I know where council stands on this, but once a bill is presented, if it's the council's desire, I could bring it back, or we could go based on what the prior attempts from the industry have led to.
We're not waiting for GPLED legislation. We're not waiting for motion picture legislation to see what that looks like. We're not waiting for state chair revenue legislation. Why are we waiting on this one again?
Well, but the mayor and Councilmember Richens, the answer to that is because we know that any attempt on shared revenue is going to be detrimental to us. I don't know. I didn't feel like it was my place to make the policy decision that I know will be important to this council to make on whether the industry goes far enough or doesn't go far enough. So I certainly could take direction today, or I would be more than happy to bring the bill back as it starts to move forward and get direction at that time. So I certainly defer to your direction on this.
Councilmember Kavanaugh.
Thank you. From my perspective, this issue is a vampire. We need to put a stake in it. I thought the voters did. Mm-hmm. And I don't understand. I understand the efforts to resurrect it, but I think the voters spoke loud and clearly on the negative impacts of payday loans in our communities across Arizona. And we can see a very well-funded effort to create smokescreen to say we're going to make all sorts of changes and be wonderful good citizens. And couldn't be further from the truth. And so, I think we need to oppose it. I mean, in terms of payday loans, when have you ever seen any payday loan company in Mesa be part of Mesa United Way, be part of the chamber, provide volunteers or sponsor to any community event? They're a vampire. They suck money out of the community and contribute little to the community. I think what we need to do as a community is work with our financial institutions to make sure that there are services available to people, to low-income people who need financial services, but have the protections that banks and other lending institutions can provide. So I'm hoping that we would move to clearly say we just oppose this and, you know, keep the vampire staked. Thanks.
Yes, sir.
I'm trying to think how we keep banks from being vampires also, because I haven't had very good experience with regular financial institutions either, but I get what you're saying. I'm sorry, do we have another comment over here? Okay.
Mumbling under my breath.
You're mumbling under your breath? Okay. Vice Mayor.
I guess if we're looking for direction, my vote's the same as it was at the poll. Let it expire.
So what Mayor and Council, the direction I hear is that we will change this to oppose attempts to eliminate the 2010. So we will change that.
So Mayor, we'll work under that assumption that we will oppose. Would the council like to see future versions of the legislation as it comes?
I'd like to see what comes up. I mean, I'm interested. My guess is that we're not the only council, because I've heard enough talk around the state.
I think most.
That they're pretty much getting the same answer, regardless of where they are. And, you know, maybe it is time for the payday loan industry to, if they're going to be good citizens, they might need to reinvent themselves rather than just try to morph into something that I don't think anyone believes that they can morph into.
Yes.
And we brought up one example. You know, how do you get rid of five stores on one corner who will, in any law, I can't imagine that they won't be grandfathered? And that, I don't know how that solves our long-term problem.
One of their main arguments they're bringing up now is talking about, oh, you're going to have all this empty, vacant space now. Well, I really think that more legitimate businesses will move into the vacuum once you get rid of the perception that payday lenders bring.
I think you sort of heard a majority of the council express that they're not really that thrilled about. Or
should
maybe it's not they're not thrilled. I think there's a lack of trust as to what the process is, and therefore, I think you're hearing that we don't feel too excited about the prospects.
No, and Mayor, I just think the voters spoke so strongly, as Councilmember Kavanaugh said, why would we think we're smarter than they are? I mean, they overturned it overwhelmingly, and why would we think anything else? To support that would be going against our voters in Mesa and across the state.
And,
and Mayor, Councilmember Higgins, that's what generally the legislature's saying for the most part as well, has been they heard the voters loud and clear. And
well, and I think I sort of figure that since the voters elected me, who am I to question their intelligence? Although I do that quite often as it relates to me, at least. So.
Great. Well, we'll move forward opposing it, and if there are drafts that come out and moving forward, we'll bring it back to council.
Yeah, I'd be interested in seeing, because with the language that's coming out, I'd be interested to see how the industry reacts to this.
Okay.
Because who knows? But let's bring it back to us if you hear anything that changes significantly.
Okay. Great. Okay. And. And with that, it's showing the brevity of our agenda this year because of the budget focus. Certainly, though, I know many of you are involved in different committees and stakeholders groups around the Valley and throughout the state. And so if you have any bills, state land reform is an issue that's going to potentially move forward again this year, hopefully with better results, because I think it's in the city's best interest to see some great things happen over in Superstition Vistas and in the land adjacent to the airport. So hopefully state land reform can move forward. There's a myriad of issues such as that have been discussed. It's just really a question with limited time and limited ability to hear bills this year because of the fact that the budget has been all-consuming, how much legislation will actually move forward that doesn't involve the budget. But if there are any other bills or any other issues, I would certainly love to hear from you.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions, comments? Thank you,
great.
Scott.
Thank you.
Acknowledge receipt of minutes in various boards and committees. I have a motion from the Vice Mayor, a second from Councilmember Richens. All in favor say aye.
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 Thank you, Councilmember Summers. Hear reports on meetings and our conferences attended. Councilmember Kavanaugh.
Thank you, Mayor. I just wanted to thank you for attending the Vietnamese New Year celebration at Mekong Plaza. It was a great community event this weekend for a wonderful asset that we have in the community.
Thank you. I've explained to people what it is, and I know a lot of people in our community are not familiar with Mekong Plaza. They're on Dobson and Main Street. And if you want, you know, a great experience as it relates to Southeast Asian or even Asian food and other thing, it's a pretty incredible place. Great food. Love it because I don't believe there's any chain stores in there. They're all, privately owned, you know, Vietnamese food, Thai food, Filipino food, Chinese food, and a great experience. And really is a gathering place and an Asian grocery store and a bunch of other businesses that are run by locals, and would love to support them, and great food also. Great place to go. So thank you, Councilman Kavanaugh. Councilmember Richens.
Ironically enough, as Gary Nelson published his illustrative article on us on our travel, I was on a trip. So I wasn't sure if I should feel guilty.
Hey, we can put another thing in the deal on the
map.
You
can do an amendment on that one, Gary.
On the map. Put another pin on the map. And
so you can include.
We should have a map up here on the thing that just puts pins on it.
As long as it wasn't Waco, Texas.
You can include Seattle on your map, where I attended the New Partners for Smart Growth Conference, which talks a lot about complete streets and pedestrian-friendly policies, and has a lot of things related to our zoning code rewrite and form-based codes, and where I even brought back a few reading material for Gordon Sheffield, like he doesn't get enough already. But there was some really fantastic workshops there this year, better than even the ones that I attended last year. That talked about a lot of the things that we're dealing with here in Mesa, especially suburban cities that are going through a lot of transformative changes. So it was a really neat conference to be able to attend.
And one thing, I'm not sure that people are fully aware of all that's happening within this city, and certainly in the past couple of years, as it relates to changes that are being made on how we look at development, how we process development, and the framework that we have for development. And it goes down to the new zoning code with the form base that we're implementing, really the approach we're taking out at Mesa Proving Grounds and the Gateway area. And those are incredibly significant in how they're going to affect future development in this city. And I think for the good. So these kinds of meetings and everything really do go into our day-to-day thinking and have a very practical purpose. And our staff's been great at working to be on the you know, on the leading edge of a lot of the things that we're implementing as it relates to planning and new communities and new areas and new ways to transition our city from where we are that now into the future. So thank you for being an active participant in that. Any other reports? Vice Mayor.
Yes, sir. Yesterday there was a lot of partying going on, obviously, but there was one party I believe we all missed, and that would have been a birthday party for our mayor.
Who was it?
Had a birthday yesterday. So with that, we have a cake that was provided by former Councilmember Joni Newth, and all together we're going to sing Happy Birthday to the mayor. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear mayor. Happy birthday to you.
That is a first.
There you go.
Thank you. And Joni, I'm sorry, that's why I missed your Super Bowl party yesterday. I was having a family birthday party at the same time. So
there you go.
Well, thank you. This was nice. So I can have my cake and eat it too.
Eat it too.
Good.
There you go.
Thank you. That was nice. I celebrated, I think, the 15th anniversary of my 39th birthday. So thank you. Mr. Brady, try topping that.
Won't even try. Mayor and Council, so this Wednesday, February 10th, we have a joint meeting of with the Dobson Ranch Homeowners Association with their board of directors. That'll be at their community center at 7:30 a.m. Also want to remind you that this coming Thursday, February 11th, our study session at 7:30 will be held over at the Central Police Station, the community room there. We'll first begin with some of the items of the study session. There's a presentation on the Fiesta District, which I think some of you have been briefed on. But then we will also have a briefing and a tour of the Fusion Center. So that's why we're meeting over there, so we can be involved in that. And then there'll be, I think there's a community Neighborhood Services Committee meeting. That committee will come back here for the lower chambers to have that meeting, if that's okay. Does that make sense? Oh, sorry. I skipped over that. Public Safety Committee meeting at 4 p.m., correct? And then just the Thursday study sessions going forward. So thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Dina. Sorry.
Anything else? All right. That was enough.
Move for adjournment.
Have a motion to adjourn. A second from Councilmember Fenter.
So okay.
Kyle, we probably should. Would you want to announce the Man and Woman of the Year for Tuesday?
Oh, yes.
February 16th.
February 16th, Man and Woman of the Year having their annual recognition banquet out at, I believe, at the Hilton again. And one of the recipients is former Vice Mayor and Council Member Claudia Walters. Those who are interested, you can come and join us that evening. Yeah.
Thank you for reminding them. Okay, we have a motion on the floor. All in favor say aye.
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 We are adjourned. Thank you, Councilmember Summers, and we'll meet upstairs in 5 or 6 minutes. Thank you.